Hello, this is Salamando for the Salamando Cast, Episode 4, Questions and Answers 4. I wasn't sure I was going to do any more of these, but I happened to stumble upon a cache of questions, half of which I totally didn't just make up for something to talk about, and well, we're just going to get right into it. How long does it take to write a story? Actually, writing the story doesn't take very long at all, usually. At least when it comes to the erotica. Even the longer stuff I can usually knock out within a week, depending on, like, what my work schedule is. And, I guess part of that is I get, if I'm really on point with writing a story, with writing period, I will kind of just maniacally go at it, like, all the free time I have. If I'm not work or asleep, I will just be write. And part of that is if I don't actually have the project finished within a week, I start to burn out on it and I end up getting to a stopping point and not coming back to it. But otherwise, usually when I'm in that kind of mode, I'm able to just belt it out really quick. And that can even include the rewrites. Of course, you know, the little scenes, those are only, like, what, 1 to 3 pages each? I mean, I can knock those out in, like, 10 minutes to half an hour, depending on, I guess what I'm doing with the scene or whatever. Now, the interesting thing, however, is the time frame between concept to execution. Sometimes I'm able to write something, and it just kind of comes out all right then. Other times I'll start writing something, and I may get stuck, and it may take me months to even years before I actually get back to it and I'm able to figure it out. Two good examples, Witch's Castle. I came up with that story. I started writing, I guess, the prototype to it. Well, prototype. The first draft of it. Before I even started posting my current set of erotic stuff. It was technically the first World of Severo story, before I even did the Jamin Frey stuff, which I never finished those either. But the reason that the Golden Hooks appear in the Jamin Frey story is they were originally part of the Witch's Castle storyline. And I thought I was never going to finish Witch's Castle. But about 2 years, 2.5 years later, something somehow clicked, and I was able to finish doing the Witch's Castle. And I was able to knock that out in something like 4 or 5 days. And, I mean, I had it kind of half written already, so it's not like I went completely from scratch. But I was able to finish it up in that amount of time. And then, you know, an extra few days for, like, going through and doing whatever rewrites I needed to do and kind of clean it up some. But, yeah, a lot of my erotica is short, as some readers will often lament, as I don't really do continuations, I don't do series. But one series I did do is the Cat's Boy Toy series, and each part of that only took me probably a couple of days, 2 or 3 days to write, although one of them ended up having to be rewritten from scratch, which that was one reason it got delayed for a long time. I never had the idea for that series, though, from the beginning. It was originally just supposed to be a one-shot story, but, you know, I did the little sequels later. But even then, it took me like 2 years to finish, quote-unquote finish, the actual Cat's Boy Toy series. And then it took me like another 2 or 3 to think to actually put it in an ebook collection. I have no idea why. But yeah, so that's about how long it takes. It varies, but the actual writing process is pretty quick once I figured it out. Otherwise, it can be long gaps between actually actually sitting down and getting it done, even if it's been a while since I had the concept. Question 2, what would I do with sex magic? I've always considered myself someone who would be very easily corrupted by power. not that I have any desire to fuck with other people, but I don't know, sex magic by its very nature kind of makes you want to fuck with other people. Of course, if I had the sex magic and I was a woman, I would just, you know, all day, every day, just dominate men left and right. And you would, I'd have a great time with all that. I'm presuming the question, though, is if it's this world and I have the magic, what would I do with it? I don't know. I like to think I wouldn't really use it at all unless I got into a relationship with someone and just use it on them, but who knows? You never know what kind of weird circumstances you're going to be in. For all that it's designed to be a very rapey power set, there are positive benefits to it. I would definitely want to try to get the most I could out of the healing aspects. So I don't know. I'd probably try to hook up with a few girls and be their dom or something, if only to, you know, not just for the fun, but if only for, you know, the health benefits. Of course, if I was a Megami and I had, you know, a whole host of superpowers to go along, fueled by the magic, you know, I don't know, I'd probably try to use them for exploration or something. Yeah, it'd be neat to fly into space, you know, just take a couple women with me and shrink them down and put them in my pocket and have them writhing in orgasm the whole trip to the moon and back. Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, the next set of questions would be, are from a friend who was kind of interested in some of the world building. More of a comic booky take on it, I guess. First question from him is, could your world band together to handle a pandemic? Well, that's the funny thing with the sex magic, is as I was just talking about the healing benefits, as a result of the sex magic being around all the time and being used constantly, the human race overall is far healthier and has magic healing powers. So, I mean, I don't think a pandemic could actually happen in the sex mage world. The way I kind of see the magic is that it provides healing to people in such a way that, like, pathogens, germs and viruses and bacteria and stuff aren't able to adapt to it. They can't sense it, so they can't adapt to it. Therefore, a lot of human disease, gets very easily eradicated. STDs disappear within the first year of sex magic. Stuff like, you know, the seasonal colds and flus and hay fever, that all gets cleared up. Allergies get cleared up. I know that's not the same thing, but even people's general internal health gets bolstered. And if by chance there was some kind of magically overcoming virus or a curse or something, the way the world setup kind of is with, like, the queendoms are all very isolationist, and even before that, a lot of countries were shutting down borders and highly limiting migration and or immigration. Trade deals were being affected, and there was a lot of shutting down of international relations, and then the queendoms formed and basically locked everyone else off. They become as self-sufficient as possible. There's some trade between queendoms, but not a whole lot. So it would be very easy to just quarantine one of the queendoms if, for some reason, like, I don't know, a magic virus shows up from another dimension or something, because of my weird lore reasons. So, I mean, I don't know about a global cooperation necessarily, but definitely it'd be very easy for them to deal with any sort of, like, disease outbreak. Next question. Could the sex mage world handle an invading army of robots? To which I extend this question to also include, could it handle, you know, invading aliens or spirits or some other supernatural sci-fi invasion? No. That within that greater crazy lore that I've talked about, they're already getting invaded by crazy monster magic cults, so and they don't really win that one, or they're not really able to, because the thing with sex magic is it's not designed to affect other creatures. It certainly wouldn't affect machines. So if you just, like, a bunch of Terminators or Xenomorphs just showed up and started, like, swarming the planet. Yeah, the world's pretty fucked. The best you could hope for is, like, certain Archmages and some of the Megami could just, like, use their superpowers, like Super Strength and Lightning Blast, in order to fight off the invaders. But bear in mind, this is a world that half the human race is already gone after the first 10 years. They have very little international cooperation. A lot of the military has incorporated sex magic to the point of near dependency on it. And, I mean, if you just threw a bunch of aliens and robots at the Earth, they wouldn't be very well prepared for it. So, yeah. Which is why they do so poorly when Zane and the Death Spirit Men show up and, the Cult Wars happen and all this other crazy shit. Third question, could it handle economic sabotage, and how does the economic rivalry between countries work, I guess? That's more or less paraphrasing the original question, but going back to the whole thing about the queendoms being very self-sufficient, that goes for the economy as well. Some of them have some trade, some of them have some very minor tourism if they happen to be neighbors. And neighboring countries with good relations, but for the most part, the global economy was already tanked in the first 10 years. That's one of the dark realities consequences of the setting that I don't really capture in the stories, admittedly, because it's not really supposed to be about that. But as per the lore, the global economy collapsed, and international trade relations went to hell. Countries were sealing up their borders. Then the Cult Wars happened, and that eradicated so much of the global... what the hell would I even call that? I guess the global relations between various countries, and destroyed the economy in a lot of them. So then the queendoms form, and they try to become as economically independent as possible, and self-sufficient. So, and then with the Pact of Non-Interference, a lot of the queendoms kind of just keep to their own selves. And if there's, like, problems between them, then there's sort of an attempt by the other surrounding queendoms to find a way to, like, peacefully mitigate the thing. Otherwise, people try to stay out of the trouble, I guess. But I guess if there was two queendoms that hated each other, and one of them wanted to use, like, economic sabotage in order to weaken one country, so, making it riper for conquest, or to just, if there is an issue of international trade, then, put them in a disadvantage, then I guess you could do that. But again, because there's so much isolation between the queendoms, even though there's supposed to be a few, like, international corporations, but even then, because of their tendency to keep to themselves and not interfere on a global level, I guess you could have a queendom or two that become the victims of economic sabotage, and but the backlash, the ripple effect of that wouldn't go very far. It would cripple that economy within that country, but it wouldn't have the kind of ramifications for the wider global society that it would probably have now in our current world. I'm not entirely sure if that answers the question, but we'll assume it does. Fourth question is there a mass extinction event in the sex mage world, or will it have another one? A little bit of an odd question. Actually, since the sex mage world is Earth, and it's supposed to be our world up until the point that sex magic occurs, we're actually in a mass extinction event right now. Tons and tons of species are dying off because of human interference and global warming. Climate change, whatever the correct term for it is now. I mean, I don't think we're nearly on the level of the dinosaurs getting killed off, but I mean, we are in a major extinction event right now, so I'm not super knowledgeable about the details of that, but so if we are right now, then presumably the sex mage world definitely is as well. And bear in mind, too, if you go by the crazier lore, an apocalypse is coming up where the planet will get swallowed by a dark dimension and the human race gets turned into monsters. And presumably all other life form on the planet gets turned into monsters. So depending on if you call that extinction or super evolution, you know. So, yeah. That doesn't really have anything to do with sex magic, though, so I don't know. I don't think there's any extinction. There's no extinction linked to sex magic, aside from, like, except indirectly through, like, the lore stuff, I guess. And, I mean, a lot of humans, half the human population is gone by the 10th year of sex magic being there. That's not really an extinction, though, so. Okay, so the next few questions I pulled from comments one person made on Literotica, and he was saying that he preferred I address these in stories, but, you know, I never know what my next stories are going to be, but they make for an interesting topic, I guess, as well. Let's see. First question. What does a fight between Megami look like? Megami being the very powerful sex mages that can do all of the special abilities, very much like superheroes in superhero comics. So they're super strong, they can fly really fast, they can fly through space or underwater. They're super durable, they have hyper regeneration, they can throw lightning and fire and make duplicates of themselves. So, yeah, I mean, they might not be on the level of Superman, but take your typical sort of Superman battle where, you know, super strong guys are punching each other through buildings and shit, and that's a Megami fight. it is a major event when it happens. I guess linking through that is what does an all-out war between two queendoms look like? Well, I kind of figured it would be the queens and other Megami within a country, assuming there's more than one, would fight each other in those aforementioned super battles. And then you've got, you don't have a whole lot of ground soldiers doing, like, infantry doing stuff. Of course, the military, in order to keep things, you couldn't really have men fight because you could just have sex mages, especially military-trained sex mages, be able to shut them down instantly. So you'd have to have pretty much all military positions staffed by women, and they would be using men as living batteries to juice them up, to power up their abilities. Their physicality as well as any special abilities they might have in the case they're an archmage. And depending on the weaponry being used, I mean, even standard sex mages, if they're being powered up by a guy that's, you know, just giving all his energy to them, they're tougher and stronger and can survive more lethal wounds than before, so it's harder to kill people. So if you really want to kill off a bunch of enemy soldiers, you got to use heavy artillery. So I figure, I mean, you'd probably have a lot more in terms of just like shelling or missile strikes or drone strikes or things of that nature, you know, just general bombing runs across enemy territory. It does, I think, ultimately still come down to which of the Megami managed to beat the shit out of or kill their rival. And a lot of times, because they don't want their own countries to get involved, even the surrounding queendoms will try not to get involved with the war. If it's two countries that are right next to each other and they just want to beat the hell out of each other and no amount of international, you know, talks and peace treaties and whatever will get them to, you know, back the hell down, they just kind of let them fight it out. So, obviously I haven't gone into the nitty-gritty detail of this, but that's basically it, is mostly it's the Megami and the stronger archmages beating the hell out of each other until someone wins. and then using like strategic bombing runs and missile strikes and shit in order to take out key locations. And let's see. I had to do it for that. Next question, how do the Megami run day-to-day affairs? I guess it depends on the size of the country and how many Megami are actually staffed in it. There's the queen, of course, but there's plenty of Megami that, comparatively speaking, plenty of Megami who don't run a country, but they're part of the queen's, or a queen's, like, council or enforcements or something. So, I guess I kind of picture them as being like a queen or president, where, you know, if they happen to be one of the Megami that just sort of run a single city-state, then they're probably more involved in the day-to-day runnings of the country, whereas much bigger nations, although I don't think there's any particularly big queendoms anymore. There's certainly no country the size of, like, China or Brazil or the United States anymore, or Canada. Because they all got chopped up into smaller... I don't know what the biggest queendom would be. I haven't figured that out yet. But either way, obviously the larger the queendom, they'd have to delegate rulership on a more local level, so you'd still have, like, governors and mayors, effectively. And, but the Megami, if they're not particularly talented in statecraft, they are still have to be there as, like, kind of a powerful figurehead, just to kind of protect the organization or entity, in terms of whether they're, like, a powerful CEO or a queen. And because of that, they have a lot of authority. And even in the lore with the queendoms, the culture of the queendom follows whatever the queen says. In terms of protecting the country, she's basically their primary defense in case there's, like, a risk of a war breaking out, of course. And if there's anything crazy, like cult shit happening, she usually will be the one that shows up and shuts it down. If there's any sort of rebellion that might happen, she's usually the one that shows up and shuts it down. Whether that's... depending on who the queen is and what their policy are, they may attempt to directly be involved with, like, you know, negotiation. Or they may just go over to where the rebels are hiding and drop a skyscraper on their heads. most of them aren't that powerful. But either way, I'm not particularly well... I don't really know that much about the nuances of governance, so... Just, that's, I picture them as queens or presidents or whatever. What is the role, next question, what is the role of archmages exactly? Archmages fulfill a lot of the, whatever their specialty really is. Because whereas Megami have all these different superpowers that go along with their sex magic, archmages have only one or two of those special abilities. So you'll have archmages that specialize in having super strength and durability. Now, whether they actually do that for military purposes, or if they actually go into construction, or whatever, the archmages that are particularly skilled with healing, they'll, you know, become the specialists at hospitals that even sex magic can't cure certain things. Like, sex magic is capable of curing cancer, but it takes a whole lot of effort and a whole lot of energy. But a specialist archmage who has healing as her specialty, she'd be able to cure cancer a lot better. And so she'd be like their, you know, anti-cancer specialist. Interestingly, in places like New Bestia and Amazonia, which are the two countries that have two of several countries where they specialize in body alteration. New Bestia being where they turn humans into anthros, into animal-human hybrids, and Amazonia being where they either make women larger in terms of, like, turning them into giantesses, or more commonly, they'll take men and shrink them down to make a whole queendom of giantesses. Archmages in those countries will usually be the ones that specialize in the body control, or the body alteration, so you'll have, like, whole crews of body morph archmages, whose whole job is to, anytime new people come into the country, they have to alter them either into an anthro or to shrink them down or whatever else may be. If it's a different country, if they've got some weird thing. Queen de Mivel Rey, the queen there, wants everyone to be like an elf for some reason. Which isn't very much in terms of having to alter much. You know, you just make the ears longer, maybe tone the body a bit. And so, but even then, you'll still have some archmages that's their specialty, is they turn people into elves. So, otherwise, kind of like with the Megami, but on a smaller scale, you'll always have, like, archmages in positions of power for, like, business and local governments. If only as, like, as an enforcer of certain things. Like, you know, the mayor of a town herself might not be an archmage, but no one would respect her authority if she didn't have, like, a couple archmages who were her direct, like, bodyguards and enforcers in case there was any sort of, like, issue that the local police couldn't handle. So the, you know, the mayor has to step in, or the sheriff or whoever. So basically that, whatever their specialty is, they're usually in the industry or business or service that their power allows them to be, or allows them to do. And even that's the thing, if they don't really have the personality or training for the type of position, they can absorb that knowledge from other people who are already in that position. So even someone who isn't skilled in terms of normal skills, in that area can pick them up and to supplement and complement their special abilities. Okay, that's about it for those, that set of questions. Next, what series would you like to throw sex magic in just to fuck with that world? As I've mentioned, sex magic is actually pretty weak against other types of supernatural or superpowered forces. Even like super science stuff. So, like, for example, in the crazier lore, there is an actual, like, power armor supervillain Dr. Doom type called Dr. Genesis, who has taken over Hawaii and has filled it with all this sorts of super technology. Now, even though normal Earth technology can't detect or manipulate sex magic, it's able to. Dr. Genesis's technology can. So my point being, although it might be interesting at first to see how sex magic would affect like a comic book universe or a sci-fi universe, the truth is most of those would have an very, very easy way of just shutting off the magic. So what I think would be more interesting, and this could actually be part of the sex mage world in terms of how their entertainment deals with incorporating sex magic into things, I think you'd have a lot more interesting stuff going on with like a soap opera or a sitcom universe. So imagine like a Days of Our Lives, but with sex magic, or Friends, but with sex magic. So how would the magic affect like the day-to-day lives of this? Basically, it's another place just like Earth, but there's these very, in the one hand, it's these very melodramatic relationship drama. And then in the other hand, it's this like, you know, everyone is comedic, has sarcastic one-liners and all these crazy sitcom situations. So it'd be interesting to see the effects of that and how that would just change the dynamic between normal people, which is what the whole sex mage world is all about. Otherwise, if there was like science fiction, fantasy stuff that would be interesting to throw it in there, I'd probably say it would be better to throw it into the low fantasy stuff, the low science fiction. So, yeah, shit, I don't know. Whatever. I can't think of a good example. Don't want to have too much dead air on this thing. And final question is, how do you think the social justice craze or the Tumblr feminist craze would have played out in the sex mage world? Not sure if this is a smart thing to talk about, but interestingly, sex magic by the canon showed up on Earth in 2010, and that is that's kind of before the current gender identity politics, or just identity politics in general, and the social justice warrior stuff, and all the protests, and all the, millennial outrage, and whatever all the various insulting, I'm sure very insulting terms are out there for all the social justice craziness that's been going on, all the feminist, Tumblr feminist craziness that's been going on. Sex magic would have preempted that if again, we're going by our current Earth's timeline. And, I don't think it would have played out. I think the sex magic, with all the crap that it brings, all the social issues, all the sudden empowerment of the human race, like some people have said, like, oh, but the sex magic is about empowering women, and how would that, as a feminist thing, how would that work out? I'm like, I mean, there would probably be feminists that would have their opinions and agendas with the sex magic, but remember, everyone in the world has this stuff, or every woman in the world has this stuff. And, I think all the crazy shit that it would bring about would kind of wash over all of the identity politics stuff, because it really affects, the whole paradigm of how people relate to each other. Probably not even just between men and women, but how the genders see each other, how they affect each other. Let's just talk about the wage gap. Whether you believe it's a myth or not, there is something of an earnings gap between men and women in a lot of industries for a lot of different reasons. But with sex magic, a good majority of men lose their jobs, and they're not able to get anything beyond grunt labor, or in some of the worst queendoms, they're just used as power sources, and they're not even directly paid. They're just, rented out. So women have to take over all the positions of work, and so men don't even get money in those societies. And who the fuck? I mean, yeah, that's an earnings gap. That's a wage gap right there. But now it's all in the women's favor. But of course, that means they have to take up all the responsibility of working the long hours and, pushing to get, really pushing to get the higher earning positions. But then, of course, I mean, shit, to go back to that economy question, I mean, sex magic itself just basically ruining a lot of industry. If everyone is constantly being healed and is being made healthy all the time, how badly do they need pharmacies anymore? How badly do they need the diet industry and exercise industry? If you can alter your body and you can make yourself look good just through willpower, through the magic, how much is the beauty industry really needed? I mean, you'd probably have something like that. You'd probably still have some kind of medical industry, beauty industry or glamour industry or whatever. But, You have all these companies that would end up just kind of tanking because their services are no longer needed, because sex magic is everywhere and sex magic compensates for stuff. Shit, there'd be countries, especially the smaller countries, where women don't even really need vehicles. They just fly on men. They just boyboard men all everywhere. At least for short run stuff. So, I mean, how would that affect the vehicle industry? And that's not even, that's not even factoring in the whole, the much more limited trade and everything. So, the whole way people do business has now changed. And how does that affect the genders and whatever gaps you want to say are there? I think it would definitely, basically it would just upend everything, and a whole bunch of people's different causes would just kind of be swept over as sex magic became the primary thing everyone had to deal with. So, yeah. I'm kind of I'm reluctant to get, you know, to be end up putting in the spotlight of internet activists who are very overly enthusiastic about screwing with people's lives because they don't like what someone has to say. But I would, part of me does kind of sometimes wonder how I guess the feminist view or the feminist interpretation or social justice interpretation, identity politics interpretation of the sex mage world would be. I don't want to know bad enough to actually try to, you know, get the spotlight on it, but it makes me curious once in a while whenever I hear about all this kind of crazy stuff going on. Yeah, so this whole section of the questionnaire is probably dumb of me to even address, but I don't know. Someone asked it, and it got me thinking. And yeah, I think that's it. There's another question, but I'll probably try to answer that on a different podcast, assuming I do any more of these. And that's about it, and I will talk to you guys again later. Bye.